I'm not sure about harnesses on me. I don't do very well with those, but yeah, I can accept those. So this morning, everybody relax. I want everybody to relax. I want you to be open to the authority of God's word is my message throughout the land, because everybody's going to be blessed here through this coming week. You're either going to be blessed that I came, or you're going to be blessed when you see the taillights for the last time. So everybody will be blessed. So just relax and open your heart to that. I have a question for us this morning. Would it be possible that within 100 years, someone in this audience would be in hell? Is it possible? No one, I believe, intentionally, although I had a neighbor that I was communicating with and I was sharing the glorious gospel and I was excited, and he continued to look at me and he said, "I want to go to hell." And I said, "No, you don't want to go to hell. I want to rescue you from hell through the authority of God's word, the power of his Holy Spirit." He said, "No, I want to go to hell." I said, "No, you don't want to go to hell." And we went on and on this for quite a while, and he said, "I want to shovel coal with my buddies in hell." I said, "There's no companionship. There's no peace. There's no identity of peace and all of that in hell. It's torment." About 2 weeks later, and the boys were with me, and they were in the cab of the truck, and they watched this old dad as he proclaims the gospel, and sometimes he's thrown out and sometimes he's loved, but it doesn't matter. The gospel of Jesus Christ goes on, and it's going to stand, my dear people. And the sooner that we bring our heart to the authority of the gospel and we humble ourselves before the Lord, we really find what we're looking for. This morning, every heart in this room is looking for something. And I can tell you what you're looking for. You're looking for the peace, the identity of Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life, to where the life finally, the heart finally comes to rest. I remember standing in a jailhouse, Dayton, Ohio. I remember that evening, and it's Marie's fault, because I fell in love with Marie, and I was a truck driver, and I left the shop late that day, and I had what you call a date with Sister Marie. And I was determined to make it back on time. After my last dump of my product in that truck, guess what? The pedal fell to the floor and it stayed there. I was moving on. And I was making time until I hit this obstacle in the road. It was a police officer. And you know what he done to me? He stepped right out in front of me, and he done this motion. That meant, pull over. Well, back then, I didn't know what it was all about God's love, his peace, his identity in my heart. And I look in the rearview mirror, and here's the thought that goes through my heart. I said, "Buddy, I'll beat you at this game, because I'll pull over and I got the next exit. I'll be out of here before you ever get into traffic." What I didn't know, the chopper was overhead. You see, he had me. I pull over, and instantly I came out of that truck cab. I was angry. I lived my life that way. I was angry. There was no peace. And I get out of that truck cab, and the race is on. And we're squaring each other off on I-75 right there on the road. And I'm looking at him, and I said, "I'm bigger than you, and I know I can take you out." Praise God, today I never met through the first punch. I praise God it never happened. I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the authority of his word. Our marriage the first year was struggling, and we were about to separate. And I finally looked at Marie, and I said this: "If I can't find it through the power and the authority of God's word, I'm just all done. I'm done." And the Holy Spirit shows up, and he began to entice me with His precious, holy, authoritative word. And we got hungry for the word. We got thirsty, and we would get up at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and we'd sit on that bed, and we would feast. Now, in the hidden crevices of our life, there was an awful past, my dear people. We were thieves. I'd do hit and runs. The list goes on. And the Holy Spirit began to speak. He began to touch those areas of my life. You know how humiliating it is to go back to a company where you've stolen? And my most humiliating place was the bar. I would lean over the bar and I would steal my beer. Various reactions. We made it through that. The Lord said, what about your music? You know, I loved this old country music. I loved the twang. I loved the song. I fought the law, but the big law won, you know, because the heart was bitter. It was cold. And this morning, my dear people, I'm not judging you, but what comes out of you determines who you are. You know, it's like going to a railroad track. And you approach that track, especially on a foggy morning, if there are no lights. I think they have lights on most of them now in Indiana. But if there are no lights, what do? You get the window down. You look. You listen. What are you listening for? You're listening for the train. When have you and I sat still in this busy, hurry-up world that we live in and analyzed what's coming out of me? Yeah, what is coming out of me? Brothers, did you love your wives this week as the Bible teaches us to love them? Huh? Do you realize in Ephesians, in that passage, how many times we are commanded to love our wives? Did we do that? Yeah, what about family altar? Do you so love God with your heart and love the author of His holy scriptures that every day you bring your family to an altar of worship? You know, that was something about Abraham that the Bible records, that God knew him. What did he know about him? He knew that he was going to call his generations after God. That's what God knew about Abraham. Does he know that about me? Does he understand that I love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might? That's all the energy that I can put forth to love him in that manner. And brothers and sisters, when you pursue the gospel, when you pursue the authority of his word in that manner, everything changes. There's a whole different perspective, whole different dynamics to life. And so as a result of all that, as God began to speak through the authority of his word and the power of the gospel, brothers and sisters, this is not a book to me. It's the authoritative word of God. That's what it is. And when all of the dust and the clamor of the return of Jesus Christ settles down, God's word still stands. It doesn't change. We were talking a bit in Sunday school, and we could have just kept on going in Sunday school and forgot about me preaching. I was enjoying what we were talking about. It's the reality of life. Where is my heart today? What am I loving? You see, we today get so misguided because we talk about an experience where I knelt, I cried out to the Lord. Yeah, those are important. That experience is important, but where are you and I today? You see, from the experience, there's a relationship. And in that relationship, I walk and I commune. And I love the Lord with all my heart, I believe, this morning. And I have still room to grow. But there's a relationship. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I'm living my life for the day when I see Jesus Christ. That's what my life is about. I had a veterinary friend who was our veterinary for a while. And, and he said he was a Christian, and so he got a divorce. I don't know what you think about divorce and remarriage, especially when it comes into your own family. But the Bible says it's sin, and I move not from that position. It is the authoritative word of God. It's sin. So settle it in your hearts. God said it's sin. That's an easy way to do it. Or we can kick against the pricks, as Paul did, and we can find ourselves under what? Judgment. We can even find ourselves under the wrath of God for our disobedience. And so I seen the veterinary one day on, he was heading north on State Route 49, and I was coming south, and my heart quickened, and the Holy Spirit said, you got to turn around and tell that man one more time. You see, he said, it's okay, because the preacher said, it's all right. I said, no, it's not about the preacher. It's about the word of God. That's what it's about. I don't really care what your preacher said. I want to know what God's word says. So I stop, turn around, jump out of the truck. I flag him down, and I'm excited about what I'm just going to say. He rolls a window down, and I said, hey, did you make your decision about this divorce and remarriage thing? Yeah, the preacher said it's all right. Here's all the credentials. And if I remember right, he had them with him. I said, I'm here to tell you, Judd, it's sin. It's sin. I'm emphatic about that, because it's sin according to God's word. You know what he told me? I'll never come to your church. You just judged me. You are a judge. You are a lawgiver. And he pitched me out. Brothers and sisters, this morning, where are you with your first love for God? Today, are you desperately scrambling to save your life? Is that what you're doing? Or today, have you lost your life that you can gain your life? And that comes by loving the author of this book. Do I love God with my whole heart, my soul, my strength, my might, the energies that God has given me to love him? I find this amazing, because in my quest to find truth, I begin to realize that I can't experience what I don't understand. And I can't give what I don't have. And you know what was missing? To love the Lord with all my heart, my soul. Because in the hidden crevices of my heart, there were little packets. Or pockets would be better. Little pockets that I still hung on to. You know what one of them was? I was a drunk. In the refrigerator, there were always a couple of bottles of beer. I was trying to serve Christ that way. You know what I used? I used the word of God, but I used it wrongly. Drink a little wine for your often infirmities. You heard that one? Drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. You see, but the intent of my heart was not pure. The intent of my heart was for selfish motives, to save my life, to please the flesh, to enjoy the pleasures of this world for a season. And husbands, today, if you're going to lead a family according to God's way, you will die a tired, old man. It's not easy. It takes effort. It takes determination. It takes the hearing the voice of God's way and not my way. This morning, do you so love the Lord with all your heart that you're very intentional about your home, about the church, about your family, about the lost? Do you love what God loves, and do you hate what God hates? Am I there? You see, in the 13th chapter of Matthew, and for the sake of time, I probably won't read all these. I'll allude to them. But in the 13th chapter of Matthew, there's a parable given, and it has to do about the soils of our hearts. And I can speak freely today. I don't know where each heart is in here. I really know very little about most of you except for a few of the leaders here, which I appreciate and I've come to love, and they've been encouragement to me. And yeah, in my excitement for the gospel, sometimes I need to be guided. Some people say I'm Pentecostal. Would you gather that? I don't know. I'm excited about this gospel because it has totally changed and transformed my life. It's exciting, and I want you to have what I found through the power of the gospel. I think that's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'll show you Christ. Well, in that passage with the soils of your heart, there are a number of conditions of the heart made mention. One of those is the wayside where, you know, you hear the gospel, but it really doesn't mean anything to you. It's not of importance, so we quickly chuck it. Another part of the heart is that heart that hears the gospel, and it's exciting. Yeah, 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 you know. And all of a sudden, you're up against a hard time where somebody throws you out. You ever been thrown out of a church for the gospel? It don't feel good, but I have. Doesn't change the gospel, church. The gospel still stands. The Word of God is still final authority. By the way, when you think about the final authority of God's Word in your life, how does that play out in everyday life? You know, Joseph gave us a perfect example. You notice when Potiphar's wife grabs a hold of him and she's sensual, she's devilish, she wants to just pervert him in her sensuality. You know what Joseph said? Did you ever analyze that passage? Here's what Joseph said. How can I sin against God? And then he commented about her husband as well. Is that where you're at in your relationship with the Lord? Who are you in the hidden identity of the darkness of the night when nobody is looking? And you have the opportunity to get on that computer and view pornography or whatever it is and fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you have awareness of God's righteousness, His holiness that prevents you and grants you the power not to do it? My spirituality this morning, my dear people, is not determined where I go when I'm compelled to go, like come here and preach, but it's where I go in my free time. Brothers and sisters, that's who I am. What comes out of you is who you are. Get rid of the deceptive thought or the comment, yeah, you can't see my heart. That's straight from the pits. The heart is revealed by the identity of the life. A life lived demonstrates the heart. And so the way you dress, the way you act, the things you talk about is all the identity of where your heart is. Then we come to another condition of the heart. And there's seed sown in a stony place, and it takes root, and it dures for a while, but then it vanishes, and then we have the heart that, because of the cares of this life. How many of you are experiencing the cares of life today? I am. The world's pressure presses in. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a cider press, and they're wanting to turn the crank and just squeeze the life out of me. But the power of the Holy Spirit is greater than I. And it's that sustaining power. This morning you remove the Holy Spirit from this man, and I am desperately wicked. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I want us to look at a at a church here for just a minute. That time really goes, and I'm going to try to honor it. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, I'd like to catch a few verses and then move on to the second chapter of Revelation and begin to understand what it looks like to lose our first love for the Lord. It's like a marriage relationship. When that Marie came down that aisle that day, I had a tough time to stay standing there. Oh, she was beautiful. And now she's more beautiful than she was then. And the love continues to grow. Why? I know her emotion. I know her identity. I know her heart. And how are we going to know and understand who God is without examining the authority of His Word? We can't do it. We can't find it. And so we tend a lot of times to gravitate and understand my heart. I have nothing against reading a good, solid-based book. But if you read a book of an author, it better enhance the Word of God or it's not of the Lord. And I struggle with a lot of these authors today, church, that do a pretty good job for a while in that book. And then all of a sudden, they go AWOL. And they take God's Word and they begin to twist it and turn it and be deceptive about it. I want to ask us a question in our love for the Lord. How much poison can we tolerate in our life before we die? We have a product back home, and we raise cattle. That's one of the things we do. We raise cattle, and where there's cattle and there's feed, the rats come. Oh, I hate them things. They remind me a lot of the devil because they undermine, they dig tunnels, and pretty soon the earth falls in and the concrete crumbles, and you name it. So we use a product called Tomcat. And this product is really deceptive. Rats will have rats that are testers. And so in a colony of rats, these testers go out and they eat food. And if it doesn't kill them within a short time, guess what? The whole colony moves in and indulges. Tomcat is designed to dehydrate. And that probably takes, I'm not an expert on this, but it takes roughly probably a week in the life of a rat to dehydrate him. Guess what? By then, the whole colony is dehydrated. You see, it's an analogy of what happens to the people who say they are gods. The Bible says, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I had a head-banging conversation with a man who, he's always bubbly and he's giggly and, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit's leading him and life is good. Oh, God is so good. And I'm over there by him one day and he said, why don't you vote? Why don't you go to war? Why don't you? Why don't you? I paused for a bit and I said, well, here's what the Bible says. And I begin quoting scripture, and after a few attempts at that, he said, you're living in the sin of idolatry. I said, really? Based on what? He said, well, you worship the Word. You don't worship God. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're not going to cast that judgment on me because I know who I worship. I worship the author of God's Word. Therefore, I obey God's Word. You see? And people come to me and they say, teach me how to want to read God's Word. The answer is simple. Learn to love the author. And you read His Word. You'll have a desire to read His Word. And as you read the Word, the Holy Spirit shows up. These are my terminologies of street language, forgive me, but that's kind of where I identify. I'm a preacher on the street most of the time. And the Holy Spirit shows up, and he takes the Word of God, and he says, hey, what about this? What about this? You know, I had that experience just recently. I was wronged, big time. I was wronged. The Bible says that man looks on the outside to make his judgment, But Jesus said, I judge righteously because I judge the intent of the heart. Did you ever mean for something to really turn out good and it all went south? Huh? Did you? Or am I odd? Sometimes I think I'm a geek. You know, I travel around preaching and sharing the gospel and I'm excited about it. And I expect everybody to jump in their seats and shout, hallelujah. Maybe that's where the Pentecostal part comes from. And then when they don't, I say, oh, oh. What about the authority of God's word in your life? What about it this morning? How do you view God's word? Is it your final authority? Therefore, when God said in the book of Revelation, after he begins in the 13th chapter, and he says, he that finds his life, he's going to lose it, and he that loses his life, for my sake, he'll find it. It's not a natural thing, my dear people, to love somebody or something that you and I have never seen. That's not natural. But what makes it natural, if I can use that term, is the fact that inside of every one of us, there is a heart that where there is a void and it's crying out to be filled. Now there's two kingdoms. It's the love of the world, which is it's a spirit, which is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And God said in his word, don't love that spirit, nor don't love the things that are in the world. What's first in your life as you sat here this morning? Is it your job? Is that what it is? Is it your position as far as a leader of the church? Is it being a song leader? Is it that I have the ability to lead a group of people in a direction? What is it in your heart this morning that brings you fulfillment? That brings you completeness. I'm going to tell you this morning what I found. It's when I really embraced loving God. And then all the rest of those things. I never in my younger years ever dreamed that I would be a preacher, Todd. It came to me like a bullet flying through that hit my chest and I jerked and God said, go preach the gospel. I said, Lord, I can show you the spot on the road. I said, Lord, what's this all about? He said, go preach the gospel. I said, well, how am I going to do this? He said, don't worry about it. I'll bring the people. And God has kept his end of the deal up. But sometimes I was a bit sluggish. Sometimes you get tired. Sometimes you get weary. Sometimes the devil, when you're going to share the gospel, puts all kinds of roadblocks in front of you. So I was wrong, Dan. God said, through the power of his Holy Spirit, he said, what are you going to do about it, Danny? And right at first, I was aggravated. I'm going to be honest with you. It seemed like a couple of 2-year-olds dancing around me that wanted to get in the cupboard doors. I said, let's just grow up. You ever feel that way? But I had to repent. God took me to that beautiful chapter in Corinthians where he talks about the tinkling cymbal and all of that stuff. In the first part of that chapter, it tells you what love isn't. And then the last part of that chapter, it teaches you what it is. And God said, Danny, what are you going to do? In my heart, I had to repent. I really did. I had to repent. Why did I repent this morning? Because I loved the Lord with my heart. And I soon realized that in this heart, there is no room for the devil and the Lord. There's just no room. So let's decide today, am I going to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, my strength? Well, in the second chapter of Revelations, and then I got to think about bringing this down. In the second chapter of Revelations, we had a church that looked right. They acted right. They accomplished right. But their heart didn't love the Lord anymore. Their heart didn't love the Lord anymore. Oh, well, and tonight we have kids club. We got to go do this thing. I'd rather just stay at home. I'm tired. I don't want to go. Or Sunday morning, I'd rather be out on some campground as, you know, one of the tests of our love for the Lord is how we love the brethren. Bible says that's one of the marks of believers, that they love the brotherhood. How many of us in here just chomp at the bit when it's time to worship and I can't wait to get there? Oh, we have church again tonight. Dad, Mom, do we really have to go? You will never lead your children, my dear people, beyond where you are. Doesn't happen. The angel said to the church of Ephesus, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works, he said, and I know your labor. I know your patience, and how you can't bear them which are evil. And you've tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and you found them liars. Wow, I would say that's a spiritual church. I would say that's a really spiritual church. You've borne and you've had patience for my name's sake. You've labored and you've not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. And I want us to pause here for just a moment as a congregation. When you knelt that day, whether you knelt what you've done, and you cried out to the Lord, and God granted you what you cried to Him for, and He cleansed your heart, and it felt so good. And you praised the Lord, and you glorified God. Have you gone beyond that point in a greater dynamics? Or today, is that known as an experience? I had this experience. And today, your hands hang down. The mind is feeble. Life is a bore. And it's a chore to do God's will. Where are we today? You know, in a marriage, unless love is cultivated, unless it's growing, first of all, it's established, but then it's cultivated and it's growing, the marriage will die. That's why we're seeing today, in the 40s, a larger escalation of divorces. You see, we have children, and children are the central glue of the marriage, and so that holds mom and dad together, and all of a sudden the children are out of the house, and we look at each other and we say, who are you? We've never cultivated that relationship. We've never cultivated that love. We've never enhanced that love. That's why I asked the question at the beginning. Husbands, did you love your wives this week? Or are they just the woman that is in your house and she's there and she cooks for you and she does laundry and the list goes on? Or is she really the love of your life? That's why every day I'm gone, when the Lord permits me to come home, I go to where Marie is. I don't want another woman. Really, nothing against any of you other sisters, but I don't want another woman. That's just the way it is in my heart. It's Marie this morning. Is that where you're at with the Lord? It's the Lord. Give me my Lord Jesus. You see, I need the Lord like I need air to breathe. You ever been underwater? And there was a force holding you under? And you knew that you knew that you needed within 2 minutes air or you will perish. You ever been there? You fight for everything that is in you to get that air. Are you and I desperately seeking God in that way today? Or is God this genie on a shelf? And when we were in, what was that place, Marie? For the Ministers Enrichment Week. Kansas. We got to the motel. And bang, clatter, thrash, just a commotion outside of my door. So being who I am, I walked to the door and I opened it up. There to greet me were four young people. "Hey, bro," the one said, and he shoves a whiskey bottle into my face and he says, "Have a snort." I said, "No, thank you, sir. I was where you are." Is how it all started. I said, "I was where you are." And I began to share Christ. And I bore my heart to those young people. And I said, "I really believe that God didn't let me die at the end of a pistol or in that accident and all of that stuff for the divine purpose of meeting you here today to share the glorious gospel." I was excited. And pretty soon, this big woman comes around the corner of that hallway and somebody had reported us, I guess, as disturbing the peace. And she looks at me and she says, "Unless you shut it down, I'll throw you out." I said, "Oh, no, not another toss out." And the little boy with the whiskey bottle, he turns around and he looks at her and he said, "All we're doing is sharing the gospel," he said. Bless his heart. I said, "Okay, I understand." So we went on to talk. And I remember the girl. She got up against the wall. And she slid down and she hit the floor and she looked at me and she said, "I tried Jesus, but he does not work." Broke my heart. I said, "Wait a minute, let me explain who Jesus is in my life. He's not a genie on a shelf that you get down to perform when you say I need him. He's Lord of my life." That's who he is. He's Lord of my life. And so I prodded her a little further. Well, she prayed over a math test, and she flunked. How many of us here have prayed earnestly, desperately over the life of a loved one, and God didn't show up to heal them? Does it change my love for who God is? Let me tell you something this morning. God is good. And no matter what happens to me in life, God is still good and God will always be good because that's who God is. You see, God is good. So we tend to put God in that performance mode where when we need him, but wait a minute, who is God in the good times to you? Is he still Lord of your life? Is he still the power and the authority for right living, for holiness? Is that who God is? Or is it then when I don't need God and I put him back on the shelf? My dear people, this morning, that's not love. That's the way of the world. That's the concept of a worldly view of what love should do. Love should perform. Love should give me what I want. I always say this. The Bible says that God is love. And that's what the Bible says. And if man chooses to love me, that's a bonus. That's a bonus. To me, God is everything this morning. God is just everything. And he brought me out of that. Oh, I shudder, church. I could have died. I came so close to dying so many times in that ungodly, hellbound life. And I said, "Lord, why did you save me?" I watched my friends die by my side. And I said, "Father, why did you save me?" He said, "Go preach the gospel. Go preach the gospel. Tell the people of the love that I have for them. And the desire is that nobody goes to hell, but all come to repentance. This morning, as I speak in closing, every 2.5 seconds, according to statistics, someone enters a Christless grave. Does that affect you this morning? Because of your love for God? Because you're just fascinated by the authority of God and His Word and the authority of His Word in my life. Go preach the gospel. I believe everybody in this room who takes the name of Jesus Christ is born to reproduce. I believe that's the identity of God and His saving power. You know, there's a song that says He depended on Jonah, He depended on I don't know who all, but they proved untrue. So he said, Saul, Paul, I'm depending on you. The Bible says, unless there's a preacher, they don't hear. This morning, what is your love level for the Lord? What comes out of you? I'm asking us this week to stop at the railroad track of life and to look and to listen. Who we are. In this busy, hurry up world, we got to go here. We got this appointment. We got this. We got Dolly Parton in my old country music days used to sing a song, I think it was, Stop the World and Let Me Off. You ever feel that way, Brother Todd? Stop the world. Let me off. One of my greatest experiences, and it was an experience, I had my back against the wall one time with dealing with the church. And I needed hope. So I climb back into the woods in an old corn crib that I had, and I sat down. And I don't remember if I was pouting or rejoicing. I can't tell you that tonight or this morning. But I was there. And I began crying out to the Lord. The birds were chattering, they were singing, they were all in a pretty good mood. And suddenly something happened. The birds quieted. The place got still. The wind rested, and the Spirit of God moved across that corn crib. I said, wow! Don't let it end, Father, I want to stay. No, he said, no, I want you to go on. Go preach the gospel. You see, the message, the identity of God is that His Word would be made known and that men and women and children would come to love Him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, that nothing hinders you from the love of this God that we serve. This morning, are we there? Or are we in a performance mode where we just perform? Notice in that passage as I close, and I said this several times, but really I'm going to close. As he said in this passage, remember therefore from whence you're fallen and repent and do the first works or else I will come unto thee quickly and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place except you repent. And this morning, by the power and the authority of God's Word, if you've left your first love for the Lord, I ask you before the Lord to repent. That's the gospel. That's the authority of God's Word. And the devil just slowly but surely. I watched a frog one time and an old snake slithered up to that frog. And he just sat there. And pretty soon that snake was upon him and he latches on to the back of that frog and about to suck him in. And I said, oh, no, you don't. I grabbed the shovel. The frog was pretty grateful, but boy, was he wore out because he just sat there for a while. And just... Then I watched another scene. Marie and I were out by the flower garden and this frog, he was probably jumping that far. I don't think I'm stretching it. I thought, whoa, and he almost comes under through my legs. And about that time, I seen the serpent. He was moving just as fast as he could go. That frog was trying to get away from the serpent. So I said, no, you don't. And I killed him, and I hung him on a tree limb for all other serpents to see. Here's what happens. Death will come. This morning, are you loving the Lord with all your heart? If not, I ask you to find an altar. As Abraham found himself and he worshiped, find an altar where you meet God and you and God commune and figure out what's happening in your heart. Figure out what's coming out of you and let God tell you that you can again love the Lord with your first love as you did the day that you knelt at that cross or when you asked God to clean you up. And God did. And it felt so good. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you for the authority of your word. And Lord, it's there for our learning. It's there to bring us to the end of ourselves. It's there to show us your love, your mercy, your grace. But it's also there to show us your judgment, your wrath to the disobedient. And God, this morning as I pray, I have the picture of the realms of heaven. And around the throne, there's 24 elders are bowing and praising and worshiping you. And Lord, that's what I'm doing in my heart this morning. We praise you, O God. Lord, we praise you for the Son of your love. And in that blessed chapter in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, I believe, Lord, where you looked upon Jesus and you seen the travail and you seen the suffering, and the Bible records you were satisfied. I thank you, Father, that I serve a satisfied Father this morning. You're not one that's standing over me with a club, and when I stumble, you rap me on the head. You're that God of love. However, Lord, never let my, and David talked about this. Renew, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Cast me not away. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh God, that's my plea. I love you, Lord. I love our relationship. May you continue to grow it by cutting out the dross. Lord, just taking care of everything in the heart. And setting up your identity in my heart, Lord, not mine. That I could be hidden in the cross of Jesus Christ. That I could be hidden in Christ. And Father, that you don't see me, but you see the blood. So God, Father, into your precious hands, I just commit my life. And Lord, it doesn't matter whether I live or whether I die. What matters is that I bring you glory. That you are glorified through my life. And that, Lord, by the authority of preaching your gospel, the Holy Spirit would show up and many would be saved. Come to the saving knowledge of you. Oh, Lord, bless the power of your word again as we looked briefly into it. Time goes quickly. Time goes fast. And, Lord, I just pray, let the gospel minister to each heart in here. And Lord, the relationship, if not already started, would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and come to find you. And if we've lost our first love, Lord, that it would be renewed and we could look back and see what we've been saved from, and then we would bring, we would be joyful. We would praise you, O Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. I just love you. In Jesus' name, amen.